Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have given us this fear of you, Lord. It's a reverential fear. We know you're a gracious and a merciful God, Lord, but we also know that you're a wrathful God too, and it all of it comes in the same package, so to speak. Not to be irreverent, Lord, but we have to understand. Father, and I ask and I pray, Lord, that you put it in our hearts about this fear of the Lord, and get us ready for this great time, Lord. And I ask and I pray that you anoint each one of us tonight to speak about the fear of the Lord and what it means to each one of us, Lord. And I just praise you, Lord, that we're going to learn some things tonight from each other. And it's going to be a wonderful time, Father, because we always lift up you, Lord. And I thank you for giving us a being with us tonight and guiding us and directing our tongues to speak those things that you want us to speak, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Does anybody have any prayer requests?
Michael?
Oh, yeah, Judy.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my son, Doug. He wants me to come down on October 14th because this is when Clayton does his running with the Indiana Centennial and he passes his torch and everything. And I haven't committed or said anything. I've just told him I have to let him know. But he kind of sent me a text that, oh, Clayton knows that I told him, but I didn't tell him, but that I'm breaking Clayton's heart. You know, again, it's always because I'm breaking the grandkids' heart if I don't do something. So I want to just cast this demon out of him that's torturing him and me, that is just trying to get after me. So, I mean, I know he doesn't know that he has this demon, and he's a very great son, but this demon is really, really trying to come between us, and it's just, you know, it's doing a good job, but I just would like to cast it away and bind it up. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to bring Doug up to you today. He has this demon that wants to just fight between him and I, and trying to, he does, Doug does not understand that God is first. He just doesn't understand that. And I've told him, but he's not getting it. So Lord, I want you to give me the answers to text him back whenever I do. Now, please give me the right answers. And in the meantime, I'm asking you to take this demon away from him. In the name of Jesus, I cast this demon out of Doug and I bind it up. I bind it up and I say that it cannot hurt him or me anymore. And thank you, Lord, for doing that. I'm not sure about casting stuff out. Maybe I shouldn't have said cast out. Maybe I just should have said I just bind that demon up. Aren't sometimes you're not supposed to cast things out?
Well, is he a Christian?
No. No.
Okay. Now, what we do is bind up witchcraft because that's exactly what it is. Anytime that somebody wants to use their kids to manipulate and control them, that's witchcraft.
Yeah.
So what you do, we just bind up all that witchcraft that's on him in the name of Jesus, and we command you to stand down right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you've bound him up already and he can't utilize that factor anymore. And we praise you, Father, that it's not going to come against Judy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for putting a rest in Judy, that she doesn't allow this to come on her. And Father, we thank you that you're doing a mighty work in her to cast these things down every time. And Father, we praise you for that. Witchcraft, you go in the name of Jesus. And I
Yes.
praise you, Father, that she doesn't have to receive that. And she can tell her son, look, son, I don't follow you anymore. I follow what the Lord tells me. And if the Lord tells me no, I'm not coming. But if he tells me yes, I'll be there with bells and whistles on. But it's the Lord that I follow now. And I don't have to follow man anymore. And Doug, you need to get that in your heart, because that's the way Mama is from now on. And that's what I tell him. I just go right straight
Amen.
to him and say, look, son, you know, that's it. And that's what I've had to do with my children. That's what a lot of other people have had to do. So, you know, just tell him you follow the Lord. And we're praying all the time for you and your family. And we know what's going on. You know, it's the devil. That's all. Just the devil.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Well, Lord, I want to apologize, or if I said to cast it out, I didn't really mean that, you know. So, Lord, forgive me for saying the wrong words, and we just bind that witchcraft up, and I thank you, Lord, for doing
Amen.
That for Doug. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, that she's not going to have to deal with it anymore.
Yes, and thank you for giving
Amen.
Me the boldness to stand up to him.
Yes,
I'm
Lord.
The mother and he's the child. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Amen.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. That's a done deal. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we pray the fear of God on Doug right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you put a blanket of fear all over him. Father, that he would see it and recognize it for what it is and repent and come to you, Lord. We ask for you to grant repentance to him and draw him to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. So that's what we do from now on. We just praise God for the work he's doing in Doug. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like prayer.
Okay.
I just need prayer for the Lord to just heal me of just past mindsets and, you know, things that I've repented already for, any railing and accusation against myself and others in my past that have hurt me and forgiven. And I'd just like the Lord to give me reverence, fear of the Lord, and just a meek and quiet spirit, be able to listen to what when he speaks.
Amen. Well, Lord, you heard Angelica's prayer, Lord. We thank you that you're going to do exactly that you're going to draw her close to you, Father. And Lord, place it in her heart to run after you with all her heart. And Father, just that nothing's going to satisfy her until you just fill her completely with your presence, Father. And I ask that for everybody in here, Lord, that we would just pray and seek you, Lord, daily until we get to that point to where you have filled us to the uttermost of our spirit and our being, Lord, with your presence. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're there right beside us, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Angelica and everybody on this conference call in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for the work that you're doing in Angelica and Isaiah in the name of Jesus. Father, you're doing such a mighty work there, and I just praise you for it, Lord. Open up her eyes to see, Father, the things in the spiritual realm nowadays, and give her understanding on how to deal with it in the name of Jesus. Give her discernment, great discernment, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for putting a hunger for her, in her, for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I believe that's going to happen, Angelica.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I
Thank
do too.
You, Father. Yes, Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Kurt?
I'd like to pray for Connie. I think they're probably leaving maybe in the morning on their trip. I think, you know, all the final things have taken place with the house they were trying to sell. I'd just like the Lord lift her, Connie up to you in prayer that you keep them safe on the trip. And, Lord, just bring them up here when you're ready to bring them up here, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for protecting them as they come here too, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be blessed, and they're going to be blessed by you, Lord, for coming. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Am I breaking up any?
You're coming really clear.
You sound okay to me.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Kurt was breaking up a little bit. And I just didn't know if it was me or him.
Might have been me, Michael. You can go ahead and mute if you want to.
Okay. All right. All right, anyone want prayer or need prayer or would like to pray about something or share a testimony or a praise report?
Michael, I'd like to pray.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to lift up my brother, Randy. Father, I lift up Randy to you. Lord, I just ask him, I ask you that you just draw him very close to you and that you comfort him and give him peace in his heart, Lord. I bind up spirits of anxiety and nervousness and rejection, failure, hopelessness, depression. And I cast them off of my brother Randy now in Jesus' name. I command you to go from him. I speak peace into him and healing into his heart. And Father, I just ask that you just hold him up mightily, comfort him and just love on him, Lord. And I bind up the demonic activity that is coming through his wife against him in Jesus' name. I forbid you from tormenting and harassing my brother. I bind up spirits of insomnia and worry and fear in Randy in Jesus' name. I command you to loose him right now in Jesus' name. Ask, Father, that you give him a peaceful, restful night's sleep when he lays his head down. Just let him learn to put his trust and his faith completely in you, Father. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Father, for taking care of my brother. And I lift up his two sons that are witnessing a lot of this turmoil in their marriage. And I just ask, Father God, that you put a protection over their eyes and over their ears, Father. Don't let them receive any hate or any retaliation. Any evil, Lord, just keep them pure in Jesus' name. And I also pray for my sister-in-law, Lori, Father. I lift her up to you and ask, Father, that you show her the sins that she is in, the destruction from the evil she's receiving and opening herself up to, and how it's destroying such a beautiful family. I ask, Father, that you put some kind of shaking in her, give her a dream. Father, she says she doesn't care if she burns in hell for what she's doing, and I believe that's just a foolish demon speaking through her, Lord. So I just bind up that demon, and I ask, Lord, that you show her truly that there is a hell, and you show her your word, and I ask, Lord, that you just draw her onto you through your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for taking care of my brother. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hey. All right. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now you were breaking up, Michael.
Okay. Am I now?
It's still breaking up to me, but I'm on a cell phone, so I don't know if it's mine or if it's your phone.
No, it was breaking up.
Okay. Somebody else take over. I'm going to go out and come back in on another headset. I've had a little trouble with this the last few times, so I might as well go ahead and change it now so we don't have any mix up here. Let's see. Anybody need to pray? I'm going to plug this in, then I'm going to go out and come right back in. It's going to take a minute, so y'all bear with me.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Hey, I got somebody I'd like to pray for.
Okay, go ahead, brother. I'm going to go out and come back in.
Okay, sounds good. I guess I should share a little bit of the situation first. A good friend of Charity and myself is looking to get married next month, and she has a lot of questions about this guy that seems like the Lord has brought into her life for his purposes. So just want to pray for his will and that she would know his will concerning that, and she's also looking to Charity and I for godly counsel, and we've been praying for her and stuff, so I'm just going to pray concerning that. So, Lord, I just lift up Nancy to you, and I thank you for all the good work that you've done in her life. I thank you for all the deliverance you've brought in her life, and that you've been maturing her in so many ways, Lord, and that you've been long-suffering with her, and that you're bringing about your purposes in her life at this time, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for your confirmation for her concerning this guy that you've brought across her path, Lord. We know nothing can happen without your permitting it, without your somewhere along the way ordaining it. And so we pray for wisdom for her, for discernment, and that, Lord, that you would give her the grace to seek you above all else, above her emotions, above what she thinks, above how she's perceiving the situation, Lord. Please give her the grace to seek your heart and to hear your voice above all of the emotional noise and clutter and thoughts being thrown into her mind and the things that are coming to her, Lord, about the situation. Just please give her the clarity that she needs, Father, and help her to just proceed in boldness, knowing that your will be accomplished, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that her desire for you would be greater even than her desire for a husband. And Lord, I know you've been working that in her. The evidence of that has been clear to me. And I just pray, Lord, that that would continue, and that you would make your will known to her, Lord, clearly, concisely, without question, and that you would give her peace if this guy, Lord, is of you, and it's your will for them to be married at this time. I pray that you would give her such a peace in the knowing, Lord, that no matter what the enemy may throw her way, that she would rest in you and know that you'll bring about your will in this, Lord, and as she proceeds according to your will, Lord, that she can rest in knowing you'll give her grace for whatever trials and whatever things she's got to go through, Lord, either way, whether it's your will for her to be married to him at this time, or maybe it's a little ways off, or maybe it's not your will at all, Lord. Just please make it abundantly clear to her and to us. And, Lord, just lift up yourself in this situation. We pray you be glorified because you alone are worthy, Lord, and this is what we want. So we pray it be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her clarity of thought in this issue. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Can y'all hear me okay now?
I can.
Yeah, I'm here.
Good here.
I can.
Okay.
Can hear you fine.
Do what?
Chad, can I ask Chad a question?
Yeah.
Is that man a Christian?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit and definitely has a love for the Lord. Nancy brought him over last week, and we spent we spent 7 hours with him and Nancy. His name is Roy, by the way, so pray for him too. And Charity and I both discern that he really does love the Lord, and we can also, see where there's some work to be done, but I can say that about all of us. So we just really want the Lord's will in this. We know Nancy does, and she's 72 years old, and the Lord has just brought her through so much. She's got a lot of youth in her, a lot of life in her, and one thing I've noticed about her attitude towards him in this situation is she really not only wants the will of the Lord, but we can see that she's being shaken by the situation. There's some things about him that cause her to be uncomfortable, but from the point of view we see it as, it, from the point of view we see it at, is it's stirring up her flesh. It's causing her flesh to be uncomfortable, as opposed to it's not necessarily something that she's discerning that's bad about him. You know, she sees the flaws and she sees the imperfections in him. But yet she also sees the work that God has done in him. So from the angle we're seeing it at is, this may very well be of the Lord, but she's seen a lot of things that would make her uncomfortable if she committed herself to this man. And from one angle, that could be a very good thing, because we know that God sharpens us when a marriage is ordained of the Lord, and Jerry and I can attest to this. It's for, you know, it's for us to grow in the Lord. We have a cross, we have the bear, and we know that God will perfect us in Him as long as the marriage is really in Him. And something that really encouraged me about the situation is that she's not all just oobly goobly over the guy. In other words, she's not on some emotional high, because she's wanted to be married for a long time. You know, she's been through some very hard things, and I don't feel I need to go through that now, but she has been married before, but that was some time ago, and now after the Lord has done much maturing and bringing her through a lot of sifting and purifying, it just seems to me like the Lord is really setting her up to grow her a whole lot more. You know, in this situation, if this is of the Lord. So I hope that made sense.
It did to me.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so to answer your question, David, I appreciate you asking. He's definitely, you know, he's a believer, and he's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he does have a love for the Lord, and so we're just seeking the Lord and how to proceed from here, and just how to be a help to Nancy in the process. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you in some wind there, Chad?
I got the fan going. Sorry, is it picking it up?
Yeah, a little
bit. Oh, there's a wind blowing here, all right, brother. Woo-wee!
That's a wind and fire of the Holy Spirit, praise God. All right. Okay, anybody else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, Claudia?
Hi. Yeah, several weeks ago I was having a toothache, and my cheek was hot, you know, like it is when it has an infection going on, something going on, and so I prayed, and then I kept asking the Lord, or saying to myself, now, am I a believer or a Christian? And I thought, I'm a believer, not a Christian, so I'm believing that it's healed, and so I pray, I do spiritual warfare. And about a half an hour later, the pain would go away. And that would last about 2 days, and then it would come back. And I kept doing that, and I'm an overcomer because in that area, anyhow, because it's gone. I haven't had any pain. The tooth hasn't been any problem for probably about maybe a week, week and a half or 2 weeks. So the pain is gone. Hallelujah.
Praise God, yeah. Them things hurt, can hurt.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, praise God. Yeah, I've had that experience too, Claudia, and we just have to endure in our faith, because that thing keeps trying to come back on us. And, man, I was like you. I said, nope, I ain't accepted that. In Jesus' name, you get out of here. I ain't got time for no toothache.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Okay. Anyone else?
I have a praise report.
Go ahead. Who was that, Jackie?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm on a cell phone.
I just would like to praise the Lord for tonight. I got a little bit of fellowship with my cousin, Marlene, and Barbara and Bruce came over, and Marlene and her husband, Dennis, were there. It was nice. It was just nice to be with like-minded people. So I thank God. I praise you, Father, especially with all the trials I've been going through and all the hard times, and I'm just thankful for that, Lord, and thankful for the good food and the fellowship and just the love, just to feel the love, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
All right. Somebody else was wanting to say.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Bruce. I'm with Jackie on the fellowship and the love that we had, and I wanted to give a praise report. Many of you probably know that I went into full cardiac arrest on Tuesday, and I actually died for 3 minutes and came back, and praise God that, you know, in his mercy, even in my frailty and sometimes unbelief, he brought me back to show his power, because when I'm weak, he is strong. And they thought I had an aneurysm in my neck. And I got scared. This whole ordeal really shook me to the core, and I was very scared. And Barbara reminded me, you know, that it's not faith when you're scared. And I was just like, I was just shaken up, because not knowing what happened and stuff until, you know, all my employees were telling me what was going on. I was like, the one lady was a nurse in a doctor's office, and she said she never saw a dead person before till this incident with me. But I praise God that he gave me another chance in his grace and mercy to let me live another day. Tomorrow is not promised to us, and I know every day is a gift. What we do with that gift is up to us. I just pray that, you know, that I would learn to follow God's words, that he would give me a burning desire to read his word every day. I'm not much of a reader, but that's no excuse. The only communion I can have with God is in prayer and through his word, to have a relationship, and that's what I'm lacking. I believe once I get into the Word more and get to know who Christ is, that I will grow. Since I've been out of the hospital, I've been having these heat cups. Can't seem to get rid of them. Everything I've tried has failed, and I'm asking if the brother would pray for me to these things would go away in the name of Jesus. Because it feels like bondage to me right now, and I don't know what to do except to ask for prayer.
Okay, what is it, Bruce?
Heat cups. You know, like how you heat cup.
Oh, hiccups. Okay, yeah, that's
easy. Yeah,
that's an easy one.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been going through this since I've been out of the hospital, and it's a 3-day thing, and it's really bothering me.
Okay.
I mean, we had this really good dinner at Marlene's, and I had to stop once already to throw up because I keep on hiccuping.
I know how to get rid of that. If you hold your ears, both of your ears, you stop the air from going in both of them, and you have somebody hold you a glass of water and you drink for good maybe 5 seconds or so, and then you stop, and they'll be gone.
Oh, I'm going to have to try that when I get home.
Yeah, I got a better one, Bruce.
Well, yeah,
me in the stomach.
I'm going to pray for it, and God's going to take it away from you. You ain't going to have to worry about it.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. All right, in the name of Jesus right now, we command those hiccups to cease your actions against Bruce right now in Jesus' name. Hiccups, you stop in Jesus' name. Right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for placing in Bruce a hunger for the Word of God like he's never experienced before. In fact, Lord, I thank you for placing it in his heart to get an audio Bible and just walk around with that thing getting in his ear, because I'm telling you, Lord, you know how it works. We've had people here that didn't like to read, and couldn't read because of eyesight or whatever. And they put that audio Bible on, Lord, and they know the Word now because of it. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in his heart to going on the website and downloading the Bible studies and listening to those and getting a knowledge of who you are and what you are and what his position is in Christ. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to place in him the authority that you've always wanted him to have. And Father, I praise you for that. I thank you for this great mighty work you're going to do in Bruce right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Father, that them hiccups is gone. He ain't got to worry about them now another time in Jesus' name. Everybody in here said amen who believes.
Amen.
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 All
amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's a done deal, Bruce. You believe that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, quit that hiccuping.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Michael.
Yes.
Michael, you might want to mute us, because I'm on my cell phone driving, and I don't have the ability to do that.
Okay. I can do that. Okay.
Okay.
Just hit star if you need to come back on.
Okay.
All right.
All right, brother. Thank
God
you.
God bless you. All right. Praise God. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Judy?
Yeah. I want to praise the Lord for finding my credit card. I couldn't find it the other day, and I was trying not to use it as much. I was going to say I was trying to just pay by cash, so I thought, okay, I'm not going to use it. So I hadn't been thinking about it, but I was going to use it the other day, and then I went to look for it, and it wasn't where I usually have it. And I thought, oh, what did I do with it? And I just couldn't think where I could have done with it. Well, I prayed, but I didn't pray earnest enough, because I thought, well, I better call the credit card company and cancel it just in case somebody would put some money on it. So instead of a lot, so I asked the Lord for forgiveness for that, because I called him and I wasn't relying on him. And so I've already repented of that, but I still asked him to find it for me or bring it to my mind where that credit card was. And then in the evening when I went to bed, he told me where it was, and by golly, that's where it was. So I thank
him. Praise God.
For finding it for me, and I asked him for forgiveness for not waiting on him, too.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, that your grace and your mercy just far exceeds anything that we can understand. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, that's pretty awesome.
Amen. Okay. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Let's pray for Matthew and Anna. They're here now, and they're looking for a house. And we've seen several houses, and just hadn't been the one yet. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you've already got a house picked out for them. We know, Lord, that you can take them right to it. And, Father, we thank you that you're going to do that real soon, real quick. When the time is right, Lord, I thank you for just taking them right to the doorstep of this house, and they're going to have favor with the owners. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to be able to move in very quickly in Jesus' name. And it's going to be a house. It's furnished, Lord. Furnished with everything they need, Lord, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that with me?
Amen.
Well, I believe it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, they came down to see you once, didn't they? Or you went up there to see them? I forget.
Yeah, they came to. They stayed with us for a couple nights before they. Maybe a couple
of
weeks before they left.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Anybody else? Testimony, praise report, or would like to pray about something?
Michael, I have a praise report.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
just want to praise God for a wonderful day. Fall weather's come in. It's not exactly real chilly. It was chilly this morning. It was 58 for the morning high, and then it got up to like 74. Low humidity. It was just a perfect, perfect day here in Little Rock. So I praise God for it. And I was in a great mood all day, too, so it made all the better. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, you know, Bill, it was kind of cool this morning here, too, and it wasn't 70s, but this afternoon I think it got up to about 84, 85. But that's really real nice here. There's not a whole lot of humidity now. So it's been nice here, too. Well, praise God, because I know how hot and how humid it can get there at times. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, I want to thank God also for a tooth that he's healing. It's been hurting me off and on, though, but I pray for it and it goes away. I'm believing that God's going to take away whatever damage done to the tooth or whatever causing it to hurt. And I thank him for what he's doing. His ways.
Amen, Lord. We thank you for restoring that tooth for Wade and taking the pain away, and we just praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? I did want to apologize to everybody for not getting the word out to you in a reasonable amount of time. It's just been real hectic. For me these last few days, that's, you know, basically what I can tell you that's what happened. And I'd think about it, but I'd be out in my truck somewhere and I'd say, oh gosh, I got to do that. And then I'd get home and something else would come up and I'd forget about it. And anyway, we got it out there today. And, I hope everybody saw the email that I sent. I'm sorry, Bill, that I didn't get it to you. I'm making me a big note right now to make sure you're on these conference call emails. And anyway, the question that the Lord had me to pose for y'all and for him is, Lord, teach us what fear of the Lord is. And I thought that was quite appropriate for the times that we're coming into. To know what the fear of the Lord is and to understand what, you know, and how we get that, what it is that makes us fear the Lord. So I'm just going to open it up, and anybody that got a word for that, just come on. Well, there's a lot of silence there. I tell you what, I'll just give you mine, what I got. I got Jeremiah chapter 2, 11 through 13. Jeremiah 2, 11 through 13. And I'm going to read it out of the NASB, if that's all right with everybody. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for them, for themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And that's what the Lord showed me. And what he's showing me in this is, as people, as most of you already know, that we've got all kinds of churches out there, all kinds of denominations that are serving a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Word, of the Bible. And they don't understand the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord would have you search out what the Word and the Scriptures say about him and how we are to follow him and to walk in his footsteps. We have to go to our cross, as he said. And we go to our cross with Let's see, who did? Somebody's still not muted here. We go to the cross and allow the Lord to take that flesh and the world away from us. Most of the church hasn't done that. They feel like that they have already. All they had to do was say a little prayer and get a handshake from the preacher. Now all they got to do is just go to church every now and then and everything's okay. When in fact, we need to search. You know, the Lord said, come to him with fear and trembling. That our salvation is with fear and trembling. And that should put fear and trembling in everybody, you know. In Psalms chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then Psalms 15 and 4 says, he honoreth them that fear the Lord. In other words, the Lord will honor those that fear him. And it's, you know, when we first come to him, we come to him with that a fear. But after we learn about him and we walk with him for a while, then it's a reverential fear. We want to please the Lord. We don't want to displease him in any kind of way or fashion, you know. And that's the kind of walk that the Lord wants. You know, the Lord is the one that can send your soul to hell. And that's forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternal torment. Forever and ever and ever. And you'll never see the light of day again. Or you can receive that eternal bliss in heaven with him. And the joy. Eternally, forever and ever and ever. That's the choice that he's given us to make. And there's a lot of people out there, as everybody in here probably already knows, that don't have that fear of the Lord because they've never been taught what's wrong or what's right, you know, in their life as far as walking with the Lord. They don't even know what it is to have faith, most of them. But anyway, I thought I'd just bring that out a little bit and like to open it up now and let everybody else give their verse and kind of give us a synopsis of what he's telling you.
Michael, can I backtrack a second? If I just wanted to say if Jackie and Barbara and Bruce had a nice time here, I just give the glory to the Lord. And all I did was make a salad and order pizza, so it was nothing I did. But I praise the Lord that they had a blessed time. And I'm not prepared for a verse today because I didn't check the email in time. So.
Well, that's fine, Marley.
But I just praise the Lord, and I give him the glory if anybody had a good time here. So.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have any pizza left? No,
I do. Come on over.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jackie brought cookies, and they were good, too.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. Anybody else get a word?
Yeah, Michael, I'll share what I got. We didn't get your email until about 2 minutes before 7, but I'll just share the verses I got. They're in Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. Out of my distress, I call upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Jehovah is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I guess I read that. As I read that, I just get to know when you're not, like it says the last words there, that what can man do to us? We need to fear God so that we aren't tempted to do, you know, think of what man can do to us.
Amen. That's exactly right. Man, we shouldn't fear man. And that's what happens in the church, the apostate churches. They fear men more than they do God. And even the preachers, they fear man more than they do God. And they've got it backwards. But, you know, I believe in the days ahead, God's going to turn that around for a lot of them. All right. Anybody else?
I just need a scripture. Well, several scriptures.
Okay, Angelica.
Ezekiel, Ezekiel 5, 7. Well, you can read, I mean, basically from 7 on, you can read all of that, but I think I'll stop from 7 to 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you multiply more than the nations that are round about you, and have walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgment in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And I will do in thee that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more the like, because of all thine abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat the fathers, and I will execute judgments in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eyes spare, neither will I have any pity. And I just, what I just get from that is that there is, there's true judgment, and there, and, you know, the Lord has the full authority to execute that judgment, and nobody can turn his hand back.
Amen.
That'll put some fear in your heart.
That's right. That's exactly right. I got mixed up on that. Now, I was reading some other ones, but you said 7 through 11, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
What book was that?
Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to know the reference, the other book and stuff. 7 to 11, but what was the book and the...
Ezekiel 5, verses 7 through 11.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. Amen. There's another one. He says, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols and with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare. You know what happens when God withdraws? That's desolation. That's emptiness. That ain't... I don't know if y'all have experienced that. I hiccuped here, some time back, and the Lord withdrew from me for a while. It's been a while back. But that was the most empty feeling I've ever had, and the most terrifying feeling that I've ever had. And that is something everybody that even thinks that they want to water down what the Word of God says needs to experience. Because when that emptiness comes in and you can't even get God's attention, I mean, you feel like you're going to hell and ain't nothing you can do about it. But you know, he didn't let me suffer long. He about a week or so, maybe 2 weeks, I don't remember. But I was crying out to him every day. And it was a mess. And finally, one day he started talking to me again, and boy, was I ever, you know, just a little bit, just enough to let me know that he's still there, but I need to get my act straight and don't be messing up anymore. And that's the fear of the Lord, is when he leaves you after you've already known him, and then he leaves you and leaves you empty. And you don't know where you're going. You think you're consigned to hell and ain't nothing you can do about it. That's the, when you come back and you accept, you go in through that repentance and you go through that forgiveness and all of that. Then you realize, you know, this is real business. This is serious business with God. And when you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you too. Amen. I hope that made a little bit of sense.
Amen. I can testify to that too, Michael. for a brief season, I had some compromise in my walk, and it was terrifying. You know, when you come out of the presence and the peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, when that leaves you, it's worse than being an unbeliever, because you came to the knowledge of truth, and you're destitute, like you said, and it's a very fearful thing. And you know, because I don't know how it comes about. You know, I guess it begins with the season where you just kind of stop praying, and you just, all you can really muster is a prayer to ask the Lord to help you to pray. And so that happens. But I know the Lord allowed me to experience that so that I can understand what it's like to be without Him, and that I cannot at this point be without Him.
Amen. That is, boy, that was solidified in my spirit after I came back, after the Lord allowed me to come back to Him. that's the way that was. It wasn't that I came back to Him. The Lord allowed it. And we ought to, you know, y'all, when I, y'all remember when I gave the story of the Russian people back early, about the turn of the century, of the 19th century, and how they would go to each other's house. This is a bunch of poor Russian farmers, but they prayed constantly, and the only time they could pray was at night, it seemed like, late at night. And they'd go to one another's house in fear and trembling, because they knew that if they were in sin, that it was going to be exposed. It was going to be exposed. I mean, it wasn't no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It was going to be exposed. And I believe we're coming into that area of walking with the Lord in that way. And I'm telling you something, if you remember what happened to when the people, they asked the people to give to, so that everybody could have equal, you know. And then Ananias and Sapphira sold that piece of ground and told them one thing and kept some more money, kept some of it back, and they lied to the priest there. And y'all know what happened. They carried them out of there by their heels. And I truly believe that we're coming to that period of time here shortly. So anyway, thank you, Angelica. It was an awesome time when I came back, and I'm sure it was with you too.
Yes, it was, and I hadn't done that ever again. So.
Oh gosh, no, I wouldn't even think of it, man. I tell you, it's, God is good. God is so grace. His grace and His mercy goes out there and covers us all. Praise God. But you know, there comes a time when that grace will stop if you're not careful. If you know too much and you go too far with your walking that line, you know, He'll pull that rug out from under if you're not careful. I'm not saying God's sitting up there with a ball bat ready to knock you out of here. He's not. He's got too much grace for that. But there comes a time when He's, you know, He's fed up with a lackadaisical attitude toward Him, and an apathetic mindset. By calling yourself a Christian, you think you're going to heaven. That's not the way it works. It's a walk. It's a walk with Him. He said you got to endure to the end. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, He said. And old Paul, he said, man, I had to beat on my body daily, lest I be rejected. And that's the attitude we ought to have. It's just, Lord, you know, just praise Him and seek Him every day. Sometimes, you know, we get a little bit. I know I find myself at times, I'm not saying that I'm 24/7 seeking the Lord. I'm 24/7 praying most of the time, you know. So anyway. All right. Anybody else get a word?
I did, Michael. I got Jonah. I'm in the car driving, so I'm not going to be able to read it. But I got Jonah 4:2, And I went on and read the whole chapter, but I also backed up and read some in Jonah 3. And what I got from that was, you know, don't complain, you know, because the Lord, you know, if they repent, and they did, that he was going to have mercy, you know, and show his loving kindness to the people of Nineveh. You know, everyone knows that story, I suppose. I mean, that's what I got, because Jonah was complaining, and, you know, we can't do that because, you know, God was going to show them mercy and grace. Praise the Lord.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, because I don't have my Bible. I can't read it, you know, while we're driving in the car.
Yeah. What did you say, the whole chapter 4?
Well, I sent it. Chapter 4, verse 2, but you really have to read the whole thing to...
Okay, I'm going to read verse 2 first. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life. Then the Lord said, do you have good reason to be angry? Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. Then God said to Jonah, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, which there are more than 125 souls, is what I'm going to say, who do not know the difference between their right and their left hand, as well as many animals? Good point, Lord. Good point. So what'd you get out of that, Barbara?
Well, I got that we shouldn't complain. I mean, whom the Lord wants to have mercy, he will have mercy. And he was going to have mercy on them because they repented. If you back up into chapter 3, I don't know, was it the king or someone of the nation, he called for everyone to repent with sackcloth and ashes. And everyone, every person, and I guess they I guess they weren't to eat or drink or anything and fast and put on sackcloth. And, you know, they repented and the Lord was going to show his mercy on them.
Well,
and I guess Chuck was complaining.
Amen. The thought that comes to my mind after reading that is, you know, if you don't give grace, you don't receive grace.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's something that I think the Lord was trying to teach. Well, he was teaching Jonah that, you know, if I don't have compassion on Nineveh, there's 120,000 souls in there that won't be saved, can't be saved because they're gone. And, you know, and that's what he was trying to get across to Jonah. And hopefully Jonah got it. I don't know. Praise
God.
Yeah,
that's a good message. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Well, all right.
You can mute. mute me back up.
Okay. All right. Y'all have a good trip.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hello, Michael.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Gaino.
Okay. I had Luke 12, verse 7, but I'm going to start reading, start with verse 4 and read through verse 10.
Okay.
And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pence, and not one of them is forgotten in the sight of God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, ye are more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, every one who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me in the presence of men shall be denied in the presence of the angels of God. And every one who shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. Those were the, I had gotten verse 7, but I just really felt that it was important to read more of those verses because it is God whom we need to fear and not man. And I guess that was what I got out of that.
Okay, that man, that nailed it, didn't it?
I know when Marlon got his and we were comparing our verses, I said, well, boy, they pretty much said the same thing.
Yeah,
he was in Psalms and I was in Luke. but the others do, too. They just do. It's fear the Lord. Don't fear man or what man can do. And like you said, it's like what we're coming up to now, that we don't have that fear of man, but we fear the Lord.
Yep. Yeah.
That was a good question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we could go all night with that. I'm you know, there's a lot
right.
to it. There's a lot to it, really a lot to the fear of the Lord.
Okay, that was what I wanted to share. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you. All right, anybody else?
Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Jackie.
I got Isaiah 66. 19, and I was going to read 18 through like maybe 20. Is that okay?
Well, sure. What verses?
I got Isaiah 66:19, and I was going to read 18 through 20 or 21.
Okay.
Isaiah 66:18 says, "For I know their works and their thoughts. The time cometh that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send such an escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pool, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory." That's where my finger came down. "Neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations." Verse 20 is, "And they shall bring all your brethren out of the nations for an oblation unto the Lord, upon horses and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring their oblation in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And of them also will I take for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord." And the Lord showed me upon the question that you posed that the people were choosing evil and how he is saying the ones that he esteems who are humble and contrite in spirit. That's in one of the earlier verses in Isaiah 66, and tremble at his word. Then he comforted Jerusalem through it. And the verses that I got at the end, I believe he was talking about the rebellious and how they will meet their end because they stayed in rebellion and they didn't submit to the word. They didn't tremble to the word. I thought it was all about judgment and hope.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That was a good one, too.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? Listen, anytime anybody wants to jump in there and give a comment, that's fine. That's what this is about. We just talk about it.
That was a really good question. I really like this question that the Lord gave you for tonight.
Yeah, I thought so too. I just wished I'd have gotten it out there earlier. But that's okay. Lord knew.
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
Could you possibly just explain what might be an unhealthy fear in the Lord?
Would you say that again, Angelica?
I guess kind of like if there is a, if you can explain an unhealthy fear in the Lord.
An unhealthy feeling of the Lord?
No, like I know that, you know, that like there's fear of the Lord, but I've heard people teach on an unhealthy fear of the Lord. I guess kind of the wrong perspective on what the fear of the Lord is.
Well, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I mean, if they fear the Lord, is there an unhealthy fear of the Lord? I don't think so. Can somebody help me out here? I'm not sure I understand what they are they saying. What are they saying?
I guess just maybe just kind of like always looking at the Lord as if, like you said, like he's just ready to, you know, hit you on the head or something like that.
Well, when we first come into the knowledge of the Lord, you know, that's probably what happens, you know, most of the time is we don't want to go to hell. And that's a healthy way to look. But it should come a time when we have a reverential fear of the Lord in our walk as we mature, you know. We should have a reverential fear is we know that God is up there and he's going to take care of us and he's going to fulfill his promises to us. And as long as we walk in his steps, it's when we don't walk in his steps and we get into willful disobedience that that fear of the Lord should come upon us to do that when he smacks us, you know, and said, boy, you better get back in shape, you know, get it, come on now. And then we, that just like what happened to me and what happened to you, that's a healthy fear. I don't understand anybody that, what did Paul say? He said, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so, with that, we come to a place, you know, where we don't believe that God's going to smack us every time we mess up, misstep, so to speak. But it's when we get into willful disobedience that God really smacks us, and it's for our own good, so that we will come back into that fear of the Lord and get back in step with him. But that's what I've got. Now, if somebody else wants to elaborate some more, go right ahead.
Michael, this is Malcolm.
Yeah.
I just wanted to explain or describe something that happened. I've described this before on this call, I don't know, a long time ago, but I was part of a team in Malaysia, and we were kind of helping with the open house of the church, a new church they had built and whatnot. So we had a team of kids there doing music. And I talked to a couple men, teenagers like myself, that, you know, about the Lord. And neither of them wanted anything to do with God. They were Muslims. And when I talked to them about him being a loving father, they couldn't accept that God was a loving father. And I don't want to project as to what their fathers were like, but they were very, they couldn't see God as being loving. They were only afraid of him, you know, just this fear because of their background. And in my own people that I know, one of the teachings that they have is there's a recording angel that's always there taking notes on every possible misdeed, misthought. You ate something that wasn't vegan, or you put butter, for Pete's sake, on your bread, and the angel is going to record that, and that's going to be held against you in the judgment. So, sorry, I'm being a little facetious, but that's actually true. That's what people sometimes they even say that. So I think there is an unhealthy fear when people don't even know who God is. They don't understand God. They've never been born again, and they've only been taught that God is there to, as a parameter, to keep them in line and keep them obedient, and say in a school setting to keep them following the rules of the school, no matter how obtuse those rules might be. So that's something from my perspective there.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's exactly right, Malcolm. We have that fear is in the back of our mind. It's not something that stands up in the front. You know, I'm waiting on God to smack me out of the way because of what he does. You can go both ways on this thing. You can go what they're doing in the churches now, you know, John 3:16, God is love, and he walks around with a lamb in his arms, and I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay, as long as you went down and shook the preacher's hand, everything's okay, you know, without teaching holiness and perfection, without teaching what faith is, what it is to walk like Jesus, without teaching what the fruit is, the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit that God wants us to bear in order to get into heaven, then you have an unhealthy relationship with the Lord. You know, you don't fear the Lord at all. But when you always keep it in the back of your mind, kind of like what Paul did, you know, that God is good. He is a loving God, and he's got a whole lot more grace and mercy than we do. But he's not like Malcolm said. He's not sitting there taking notes on every little old thing we did. If he did, boy, we'd be in trouble. But, yeah, it goes both ways. Thank you, Malcolm. That was excellent.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, the greasy grace thing.
Yeah.
And I hear this so much, and maybe some of those of you who come from a legalistic-type religious background have heard this too, and that is all these rules, the Ten Commandments, and all these added rules are piled up to the point where you're terrified to do anything for fear, you know. And then once you turn, you know, say if you reject one of those things that, you know, it's man-made, a lot of it, then you're gone forever. I mean, you can't, because you've turned away from the light that you knew. But what they're talking about is, I mean, Jesus is the light. It's not all these man-made rules. It's the light. But then you come, you know, these, you know, I remember this group I came out of back in the 80s, late 70s and 80s, and they come along with, I'm generalizing because it's much more complex than this, but there's the Greasy Grace group that comes along and says, no, you don't have to worry about butter. You can have butter. It's fine. You can eat eggs. It's okay to eat eggs. In fact, with Jesus, you can sin and you'll be fine. See, it's a one way. It's like it's a straw man, and they build up the straw man. By they, I mean, you know, Satan and all this false stuff. They build up the straw man, and then they knock him down, and they present something else that isn't true either. Neither one is true. But Satan has people flipping back and forth around, and never arriving at the truth, because it's all misinformation and distortion, and it's so sad. You know, sometime a little later, I'd like to say something about the Ashbury revival, because, you know, that was the real McCoy.
Yeah, it was. It was a revival of repenting from sin. And wasn't a whole lot of gifts being displayed, but it was just a revival of repentance, which was good. It's really good. That's what we all need. We need a revival of repentance, revival from sin. People were repenting all over the place, all over that college, and then they took it out across the United States. And anyway, let's get back to the deal at hand. That's real good, Malcolm. Thank you very much. Kind of put us in a perspective as to what where we ought to be. We just have to believe God for everything. What about it, Angelica? Did you kind of get?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about, because I know that I've always believed in the Lord, but there was a time when I was younger, maybe 16, 17, I just, of course, you know, you're suffering so much rejection. You have this false image that's been built up by, of course, these religions, you know, who God is. And you just never think, you know, in your mind, you're so afraid of him that you think he would never accept or receive you. And I think for a lot of years that kept me from, you know, coming to the Lord, because I had that, you know, just false image of who he was, because that's what I was taught when I was younger.
Amen.
But yet, he put it perfectly. Thank you.
Amen. Anybody want to add anything to it?
Yeah, Michael, I just say it's amazing how many people, God's people that go to churches that will argue with you about having the fear of God. We're just always amazed at that. There's so many people that don't believe you should fear God.
I know it's scary. It's scary, but you know, I truly believe it, and y'all heard me say it lots of times. Some of y'all have said it, that in the days ahead, God's going to put that fear back, and he's going to put it back in the church, just like he did that first century church, and people are going to be scared to sin because God will expose it. He's getting serious with us now, and it's time for us to get it right, you know. Okay. Anybody else? Get a word. Teach us what the fear of the Lord is.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Not much. My wife and I both wanted to give a word. The first one is Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's reverential fear.
Amen. He's saying there not to fear man, but you need to fear me.
Fear God, yes.
Yeah,
don't fear man, fear God.
Yeah.
I'm good. Jeanette?
Oh, you want me next?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Jeanette. I've got it out of Jeremiah 5, verse 22, Amplified. Do you not fear and reverence me, says the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand for the boundary of the sea, a perpetual barrier beyond which it cannot pass, and by an everlasting order beyond which it cannot go. And though the waves of the sea toss and shake themselves, yet they cannot prevail against the feeble grains of the sand, which God has ordained by nature to be sufficient for his purpose. So the gulls roar, yet they cannot pass over that barrier. Is not such a God to be reverently feared and worshipped?
Okay, what were those verses again?
Yes, Jeremiah, mine was Psalms 27:1, and my wife doing Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22.
Amplified.
In the Amplified Bible.
Okay.
I was thinking.
Go ahead.
That's all.
Okay. Okay, she got Jeremiah 5, verse 22. I'm going to read it out of my version here, if that's all right. That's a good verse, too. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? For I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, an eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. And though they roar, yet they cannot cross over it. Praise God. That is a good one, Jeanette. He's asking the question, how come you don't fear me? Don't you know what I can do?
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Thank y'all. All right. Anyone else?
Michael, I have a word. I didn't get an email, but I still got a word.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Thank you, Bill.
What's interesting about this word is I do this at random in the morning in my truck before I go into work, and then at night. These are two separate Bibles, but I got the same word in the morning as I did in the night. I close my eyes, I flip through the pages like you would a deck of cards or something, and I ask the Holy Spirit to give me a word. And I open the Bible at random, and then my eyes are drawn to one particular spot, and then I'll read it. This happened twice. This has never happened to me before. So I'm going to read Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. My people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? So I read that this morning, and then I came upon this one tonight. I said, wow, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? I said, if so, what? What is it? You know, I'm not a prophet that prophesies falsely. I'm not a priest that rules by my own power. The last question, maybe it goes for what we're talking about tonight, is, but what will you do in the end? In other words, when you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and He's judging you for these things of people in the churches and the high places prophesying falsely, and priests and ministers and, you know, other people in the church doing things in their own power and not of God. In other words, they're coming in the name of God and Jesus, but they're not really doing what He wants. He says, what will you do in the end? And in other words, you'll have no excuse at that point. You know, when you're judged, it's like you've got to have the fear in the Lord in you before that, you know, so you don't commit those sins. But then I just kept thinking about the fear of the Lord, and tonight, and as everyone was talking, it brought me to Psalms 111. I see this number all the time, 111, on the back of the school bus, on someone's license plate, on my odometer, on my watch, on my computer clock. But Psalms 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow this, its precepts, have good understanding. To Him belongs eternal praise. So I think it's important to have a fear of the Lord, because it's the beginning of wisdom. It's prudent. It's essential in knowing God, to look at Him reverently and awe, not necessarily be afraid of Him, but look at Him that, you know, He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient and omnipresent. He's everything. And have that kind of fear is very wise. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of psalms in there that have the fear of the Lord in them, and it's awesome to go through them. All right, anybody else get one? I was going through my Naves, looking at all of the scriptures that talk about the fear of God, and it's amazing. There's pages upon pages of them, of fear of God. And to have, just like Bill was talking about, the people, the false prophets are out there talking about peace, peace when there is no peace. Listen, we're on the verge of war. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but we're on the verge of war with Russia. We keep aggravating them over there on the border. And but Putin's going, you know, he's getting nuts. So he said, y'all keep on. I'm going to have to do something, because what they are doing, they're trying to put missiles in, a medium range, low and medium range missiles on their border. And that would jeopardize their safety. And he's just not going to do it. He's not going to allow that to happen. But anyway, we don't have to fear in this kind of stuff. I said that for one thing. We just fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, and he'll take care of you. Psalms 91, you know. I'm just going to read a few more of these psalms that, and then, you know, there's some in Job, too. Talk about the fear of the Lord. In Job 28:28, and it says, And unto man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. It also keeps you from bailing off into sin. In Job 37:24, it says, men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any wise of heart. That's pretty self-explanatory there. If you fear him, you're not going to be wise of heart. You're going to be asking the Lord for that wisdom. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve the Lord with fear. Psalms 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Psalms 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. He wants you to be still and listen for him. He wants you to get in your prayer closet and listen for him and get close to him and listen in, and you, where you can hear him telling you what to do, and bringing that closeness and that relationship closer to him. And he says in Psalm 15:4, he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. Praise God. The fear of the Lord. You know, when you fear the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. And that's the love that we talked about here a while back. That's the love of God. You love God so much that you're going to keep his commandment. But that love is a reverential fear of, you know, of God. You love God enough to you want to keep his commandment. That takes you out of that ball bat scenario, you know, that we talked about earlier. You know that God's going to be there for you. You know that God's going to take care of you. But you also know that he can whack your enemies out of the way, just like he did Sennacherib. 185,000 of those died in one day, and he was taking care of his people. That put the fear of God in the people, in the Israelis. It also put them in victory. And that's the kind of reverential fear God wants, you know, that he can do anything for us, right? He can do all things. All these circumstances that come up around us is for one thing, is to mature us in him. And we should love him and fear him enough to go ahead and utilize that fear into our walk with him. It says the fear of the Lord in Psalms 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Amen. Psalms 22:23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Praise God. There's a lot of good verses on fear in here, and I'm not going to go through them all. There's a number of them. If you've got a Naves, you can just look up fear of God and go through them, and you'll understand a lot. Fear God and keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. For this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Praise God. Yes, it is. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add to this fear of God word?
Yeah, Michael, I just share a lot of times when we went go to the detention center, I kind of used the example of fear of the Lord. When you are tempted to do something that is wrong and you think there's no one ever going to know, but then knowing that God knows, that's really having the fear of the Lord. That you don't do that because you know God is going to know whether nobody else knows or not. I always like to use that one.
Well, amen. Yes, Lord, that's right. You can think you're getting away with some, but you're not, because God sees everything. That's good. Amen. They've heard a lot of that greasy grace stuff in the jailhouse, and it's not good for them. They think they're okay and they can go ahead and they're sin. I also hear a lot of that going to hell business, and they just want to know how to get out of hell. That's what they want to know. Praise God. Yep, that's a good one. Anybody else?
Yeah, what, Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Well, I wasn't sure whether to get mine after you said, when you said John 3:16 that the churches are teaching now, but I got John 3:14, and I was going to read 14, 15, and 16. But, and I asked the Lord, I thought I'd get a verse with fear in it, with the word fear in there, you know. But I think he was telling me that, you know, if you believe within him the way you're supposed to, you're going to have the fear. But then also on 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when he lifted that serpent up on the pole, didn't they were kind of fearful then? The people, the Israelites weren't they?
Well, they were in fear before that because they didn't have any kind of a salvation from those snakes, you know. And
yeah.
But then when the Lord gave them a way out, then they. I'm sure they had a reverential fear for the Lord at that time for a little while. You know what happened to them people. They were murmuring,
yeah.
Carrying on. But, yeah, I believe so.
Well, I thought about that, and then when I read 15 and 16, that whosoever believeth man may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. I felt like he was saying to me, okay, if you believe that and believe it with all your heart, well, you're going to have the fear of me in you, like you were kind of talking about.
Amen. That's right.
So anyhow, that's what I got.
Thank you, Lord.
John 3:14, and then I read 14, 15, and 16.
All right, that's good. Well, you know, that whole chapter 3 there, when Jesus was talking, he was making a lot of parallels there, and he was telling them, get out of the flesh, and giving them all kinds of good, sound teachings there. But he was telling them, he said, you're the teacher of Israel, and you don't understand a thing I'm saying. And then Jesus told him, he said, you know, here I am. I'm telling you what I know from the Lord, from God the Father. And I'm telling you what I've seen, and you still don't accept my testimony. He told him, he said, if I told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So, yep, he was trying to get their attention, but they didn't have the fear of God. All right. Anybody else? It seems like that all that Jesus did when he was down here is just make them mad because he was telling the truth and he was trying to get them, you know, he was telling them the truth and giving them the basics of salvation in him. And they rejected it. And he said, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Every time I read that, I always think about that religious spirit that jumped on me out there in the flea market one time, large flea market. And it was a mainline denominational group that don't love the Lord. And they were calling me a false prophet because I wanted to cast a demon out of this poor guy. And but anyway, God did it in spite of him. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Help me out here now. Let's talk about this a little.
Amen. I always, when I think about, you know, just what the Lord requires, I always come back to thinking, you know, the Father loves us, you know, beyond anything we can understand, but the Father loves the Son. You know, he said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And he also says, you know, if you step on my Son and on salvation, if you make the blood of my Son to no effect, there is a price to pay. And to me, you know, when you think of a parent, you know, when they protect their children, you know, they're, I mean, you know, you don't want to see that kind of fury. I think about that, how the Father feels for his Son, Jesus. And if we don't understand that when we maybe misstep purposefully, well, I guess it wouldn't be a misstep, willfully sin, that, you know, the Father, rightfully so, is going to judge you for that.
Amen. He sure will. But, you know, we could all look back on our life and we can see where God had a lot of grace in our lives, bringing us around, you know, to where we are now. And he's had a lot of grace. He's brought us along gently and full of grace. And we're all learning. We're all maturing at the speed that God wants us to. And I just thank God that he does have that grace and that mercy. And having said that, we also have to show a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. I know that there are people out there that have had a judgmental attitude. They've had a critical spirit, and it's hard for them to love people. What we have to do is bust through all of that stuff there and look at the Christ in the people that we want to criticize, and just ask God to bless them, you know. I remember one of the guys that left over here locally. He was telling David one day, he said, I am fed up to hear with your grace. I said, uh-oh. Something fixed to happen to that guy. And he did. Lord just sent him packing. But we have to have a lot of grace. David has a book out called Grace, Not Condemnation, and it's a good book. But we still have to fear the Lord. We have to do what the Word says, and a lot of times to doing what the Word says as mature Christians, I'm talking about, it can be very heartbreaking, you know, having to deal with certain things that sometimes it come up, and but there again, it's also very heartening to see God's people coming together in one accord and just getting on the verge of this this great happening, this great the glory of God falling down on his people because they are in one accord. We got an admonishment from the Lord yesterday, as a matter of fact, through a word of knowledge from a lady here. And it was that we don't, you know, we put on a facade sometimes to not to show what we really think about a person. And the Lord said, it don't make any difference what you think you're doing. He said, I can read your mind. He said, get that to cast that down immediately. And that's where we are. The Lord is saying, you get a bad thought in your head about one of my people, and he's going to spank you. You know, he's cleaning us up. He's fine tuning. He's getting these little acts that we think are okay out of us. They're not okay. He wants a spotless and blemishless bride. So when we look at somebody and we say, and we grin at them and we go along with them, and yet in our heart we're thinking bad thoughts against, cast it down. Cast it down immediately and repent. Because God is not pleased with that type of attitude. That's what he's told us. That's just what he told us, you know. And so that's where we are. God's cleaning us all up, fine-tuning his bride, and getting us all ready for this great awakening that he's fixing to do. And I am getting some kind of excited, glory to God. Oh, my, 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 my. Praise God. Okay, we got a little bit left here. Y'all help me out here. What do you think?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to wax eloquent, maybe talk a little bit about the Asbury thing, and you've already gone over that.
Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm. That'd be great.
But one of the, you know, as I mentioned in my email, I've gone over those two videos. There's two major videos out there about that revival. One's 28 minutes, the other one's 38 minutes. But the longer one is just the president of the college talking with a few little clips here and there about what was going on. And then the 28-minute one is a lot of footage and recordings of what was happening there. But one of the things the president said at the time, who was the president of the college at the time, Asbury College, was even when he was talking to the academic dean on the phone in that telephone booth up in Banff, up in Canada, he said he really became aware or quite cognizant of the fear of the Lord, and he was very concerned that he even be anywhere close to dealing with this. He was very concerned about his own walk with the Lord and whether or not he was meet. I guess you could quote that from Ephesians, the first chapter. You know, whether or not he should even touch this, I'm paraphrasing greatly, but he was very concerned and about his own worthiness. But one thing he said was that I think it was maybe the second or third day he was up there. He didn't fly back until it was Thursday night. He had flown up there on Tuesday, which is when the revival started, and then on Thursday, he finally flew back, and instead of going home at 2:30 in the morning, he went directly to the auditorium, the hall where this was still going on. But he said the closer he got there to the college, the heavier the presence of the Lord became. And again, it gets back to that fear of the Lord. It was just this presence that he had read about, you know, in Finney's autobiography and others, I'm sure, but he mentioned Finney's specifically. And then as he came up the stairs, he came up very slowly because he was concerned, you know, about entering God's presence there. So I think what characterized that revival, certainly at Ashbury, but and it sounds like also that was going on at least a couple of the other colleges, was the fear of the Lord. And yet there was another thing that went along with that, was the tremendous freedom that people had to worship and to just operate in the Lord. Just a tremendous freedom. And after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's something I felt. I think the fellowship I was in also was granting me that freedom, but I just felt a tremendous freedom to worship. I'd never felt that before in my life. But it's, if a person has already been born again and they're walking in the Lord and walking in the Spirit, I think the fear that we're talking about comes into proper perspective and it has its proper balance. I think the kind of fear that I was talking about earlier is not a fear of the Lord. It's just a fear from the spirit of fear, if you know what I mean, because of a miseducation, misunderstanding of God and whatnot. The other thing I wanted to say about the Ashbury revival thing, or just revival in general, was at the school I was going to in Singapore at the time, we got that a couple years later, at kind of the tail end of that revival. Nothing, you know, that's what intrigued me about this video footage, was that it was really reminding me of stuff, but what I remember was nothing even close to that. There was some revival, but and there was repentance, and kids were confessing things and whatnot. But it seems to me that what happened to me a year after that was a personal revival, which is when I felt like I was truly born again. But I think corporate revival is very, very much needed, and I think, correct me, Michael, here, but I think that was the last revival in the West. But if you look at footage of what's happened in China and read about other countries, even up in Alaska, there was a little church up there, sounded like a fairly remote church, that had a major revival. So there are these small revival, not China, I wouldn't say it's a small revival. That's absolutely huge what was going on in China. And it sounds like it's... But anyway, I think we can all each have our own personal revival, and the Lord can meet us as we seek him. And that's one of the things that Charles Finney talked about before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that the Lord, as he was walking up in the woods up, there's kind of a ridge, that he walked up this road and off on this forested ridge. And as he was walking along through there, that's one of the things the Lord impressed upon him, was Jeremiah, the text there that says, you will find me if you seek for me with all your heart. And the emphasis the Lord placed in that text was on all your heart. So I think if we seek him that way, that we can have our own personal revival, and then it can turn into corporate revival as we, you know, the Lord's timing there.
Amen. I'm reminded when you said that of, I had a similar experience of that, and I've already told that, so I'm not going to tell it again, but I remember Paul Washer was talking about his experience with God, and he quoted that same scripture that you just quoted, and he was throwing it at the Lord. You know, Lord, you said if we seek you with all our heart, that you would that we would find you. I ain't found you yet. Come on now, you know. And he said this is when he was in seminary, And they had a break. They had a spring break. And all of his buddies were going out to Colorado to have a Bible study and a ski break, you know. And he said the Lord actually told him, he thought, to go out to West Texas in the hill country out there. And so he went out there, and he said, I got out there, and I got to, he said, I was like a wild man out there in the woods and in the hills of West Texas. He said, I was screaming at God and crying and doing all these things. He said, matter of fact, he said, I just started picking up rocks and throwing it in the sky, you know, trying to get God's attention, I guess. But he said this rocked on for a while, and then he went back to theological seminary, but he was still seeking God with all his heart. And he said, finally, I don't remember how many months it was. It was quite a while, 4 or 5 months, 6 months, I don't remember. But he said, one day I was out and I was praying out by myself, he said, and this presence came on me. And he said, I hit the ground like a rock, rolled up into a fetal position, and wanted it to go away because it was too powerful for my sin to be in that presence of the Lord. He said, but then all of a sudden, he said, the Lord just swept through me and cleansed out all of that bondage that I was in. And he said, and I have been close to the Lord ever since. Been close to the Lord ever since. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I praise you for allowing each one of us, Lord, to come into that presence, that you just wipe away the bondage. You wipe away all of this stuff, Lord. But Lord, place it in our hearts to seek you with all of our hearts, to run after you with all of our hearts, Lord, and to want to be with you 24/7, Lord, and cry out to you, Father, to come to us and glorify us. And we want to feel you, Lord. We want to see you. We want to hear you, Lord. And I think you're going to do that, Lord. And I praise you, and I, oh my Lord, please come to us and give us revival. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Lord, protect us, provide for us, and give us a good night's sleep. The question for Thursday, what is it going to take, Lord, for us to come into that one accord? What is it going to take, Lord, for us to come into that one accord? Let's get a word and find out. And look at these scriptures that we went over tonight. I hope you took them all down and look and say, you're going to see a picture here of what God's doing, why he answered this question of the fear of the Lord. I know we've been over it a lot, but you'll see a lot more if you'll do that. Well, good night, saints, and God bless you. We'll see you Thursday, God willing.